Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Davis Maddock. I am joined by Andrew Barron this week. Karain, he didn't want to do it with me, so we brought Andrew back in. And I understand why no one would want to do this. We even waited a day because I messaged Andrew last night and I said, you know what, let's wait until Thursday to do the game by game. Maybe we'll catch a big COVID thing that will impact the slate. And I guess we did pick up a couple. We're not going to be touting Jalen Waddle. He's out. We're not going to be touting Tyler Lockett in the one big pace up game. So we're going to do our best. Certainly the premium podcast is going to, we do that on Fridays. The projections are going to be continually updated, but there's a very good chance that everything we say on this show right now is going to end up being wrong by Sunday morning because of the COVID stuff.
And what else is new, buddy? Yeah, I don't think we got a lot of clarity based on what's happened today and yesterday. I mean, there's still just a boatload of things that could happen, but obviously we will stay on top of it and we will give you our best shot as far as like what we are projecting to happen as of now.
Yep. All right. So let's start with Houston at Jacksonville, which I can already tell you there's something that has not been accounted for in the projections, which is that Rex Burkhead just got announced as out. David Johnson got announced as back in for Houston. Urban Meyer got fired, so the line moved. I've never seen this before. Coach got fired. The line moved in his team's direction a point and a half. You know, I do think, given that it is the Texans, James Robinson, 5,400 on DraftKings, Laviska Shenault, Marvin Jones, Laquan Treadwell, there is a, like, It will be fairly popular, I think, to want to use these guys in DFS.
Huh. Yeah, I was going to say this is normally a game I'd want to target just because when you have two crappy teams, you know, those can turn into shootouts.
The Who Cares Bowl.
Right. The defenses are bad, too. So, like, if they just go out there and launch, it could work out. I mean, I guess you could do it where it allows you to play both, like, Devontae Adams and Cooper Kupp. So it is reasonable, but like there's so much savings already this week that I'm not as into it as I normally would be. James Robinson obviously is going to be the big piece here. I think he's absolutely like a very reasonable cash starting block on DraftKings, but I don't know. Like Trevor Lawrence has been so bad. I would be playing him more in DFS this year, and it's been disgusting.
And that is what is kind of keeping, like, I would be in on a Jaguars puke stack if I thought it really was, you know, just Urban's fault that he's been so bad. But I mean, that game last week, like, he just was like tossing wide open. Like, it's not Urban Meyer's fault that he is just throwing it to the opposing team.
No. And he's got, you know, fat Laviska Shenault. He's got 4,740 Laquan Treadwell and the ghost of Marvin Jones to throw to, you know, like that ain't pretty either. So I don't know. I'm less into this than I thought I would be, especially if it's going to be chalky at all. What about Houston? Like, I guess David Johnson's.
I was going to say I could see playing Royce Freeman. I was going to say that, but I was just on TV with Craig, and he just played me a clip of David Culley, the Texans head coach, not remembering Royce Freeman's name. He was talking about what his backfield was going to look like this week, and he forgot Royce Freeman's name.
I didn't know he was a Texan.
He had 11 carries and 8 targets last week.
Okay. Yeah. Good for him. Good for him. That's exciting. Yeah, great. Brandon Cooks is going to get a million targets. I guess that's useful, but Brandon Cooks has been overplayed every single week.
Every week. Yeah. So. Yeah. Not into it. I just like, I can see why people are theoretically interested, but I don't think I can. I don't think I can get there. All right. So let's move on to Tennessee at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh has a couple interesting guys. I mean, one of the most interesting guys is Najee, who is not like breaking through in the projections, but because there's so much value and there are, you know, Dalvin Cook's not on the main slate. You know, some of the other, expensive running backs are not on the main slate. You know, Alvin Kamara not on the main slate. Like Najee Harris is one of the highest projected players of the slate, and it's not going to be hard to play him with, you know, all of this expected COVID value. And then Deontay Johnson, of course, you know, receiving his usual projection. And then also, you know, the Titans have a team total of 22. Donta Foreman, you know, clearly led the way, not in snaps last week, but in backfield touches. And then I know Julio only did his, you know, 3 for 30 thing last week, but I don't know. I still kind of feel like Julio has a game in him.
Yeah, I'm with you there about Julio, actually. He only played half the snaps, but he did still garner a 20% market share target. So, I mean, I'm buying again one more time. Just why not? He's like a top five receiver of all time. And it's
and the Steelers are so bad.
Yeah, they really have not been good. I like the passing attacks more for both of these teams. I don't hate the Dante Foreman. It's just he's
better on FanDuel.
Yeah, and he's gotten touted a little bit, and it's, you know, he's getting a reasonable peon, which is kind of gross because there are three running backs there. They did split the snaps pretty evenly. Like, I mean, Dante Foreman actually
McNichols, for what it's worth, McNichols really didn't get in playing a ton until the fourth quarter. Pete told me that yesterday from Ben Gretsch's stealing signals, which is that makes me feel a little bit better about Foreman.
Yeah, I mean, McNichols still did lead the team and running back snaps, so
yeah,
it's not great, but yeah, I think you're right. If Tennessee, there is a script where Tennessee just, like, you know, destroys them, and Dante Foreman would presumably be the guy they lean on as the sort of
I feel very confident that if the Titans win this game by like 7 points or more, or are leading for a huge chunk of the game, that Foreman scores the most fantasy points of the running backs.
I think that's fine. And I like the Pittsburgh receivers considerably more than I like Najee. So I don't mind the sort of correlation of Dante with Deontay Johnson or Chase Claypool. Yeah. Claypool is not playing a million snaps. His target share is fine. It's 20%, but he's,
I mean, he might just bombers. Be benched. He might just be benched this week.
I don't know about
that. I think that is Tomlin loves to do crap. Tomlin loves to play Ray McLeod instead of, I mean, Deontay Johnson got benched last year for drops for James Washington.
Sure. Okay. I mean, I'm not really into like getting into the mind of the coach, but Chase Claypool leads the team in A-dot. He gets targets.
I'm with you. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think Deontay and Chase Claypool are the ones I'm more interested in. Claypool just, you know, he gets a lot of air yards. He hasn't been super efficient, but they're getting it done. And I like them more than the idea of Najee just because he's expensive. And I think there's does he have a 25-point ceiling? Sure, but there's plenty of 5-6K guys that do too.
Well, he's got a 30-point ceiling, though, which is what I think makes him different.
I suppose that is true in that we've seen it once or twice, but it's been a while with the, you know, his target share is 8% over the last 4 weeks, despite being 15-16 on the season. He was getting way more targets early. So they are throwing downfield more. I think that's probably just the offense getting a little more comfortable. So I'm more into the Pittsburgh receiving side. Also, I think Tennessee is a better team against the run than they are against the pass, for what it's worth.
Yeah. All right. So the next game, fairly interesting, the Arizona Cardinals without DeAndre Hopkins. I also think there's a decent chance there's no James Conner here. He's still in our projections. I don't really know what to do with him, but there also, my friend, is a scenario where James Conner doesn't play with the ankle injury. Jonathan Ward is on the COVID list, and they say, you know what, Chase Edmonds, we're a bazillion point favorites here against the Detroit Lions. Why don't you go ahead and take another week coming off of the high ankle sprain? And we are left with just Eno Benjamin, who would, I think that's a very low probability. Like, I'm not touting this as like the most likely thing to happen, but I could see it happening. And I would play 100% of Eno Benjamin and all. I would just be all in on Eno if that happened.
Isn't he one of those like 5'7", 185 guys? That's a little bit concerning to me, but
I think he is bigger than that. And also he was like a stone workhorse in college. Like,
okay.
He's 5'9", 207, but he got 576 carries and 82 receptions in 3 seasons at college. I mean, he got the ball all the time.
Okay. Did he go to school in the SEC? Because if not, it doesn't matter.
Arizona State.
Okay, doesn't matter then. Great. I mean, I hope James Conner plays for the, you know, he's like my third highest exposure best ball guy. So like my best ball teams that are through pretty much all have him. So that would be useful. But I just really like Arizona in general. They have the highest total. It's not particularly close. You know, they're in the spot that the Bucks or the Bills or the Rams usually are. They have a almost touchdown higher total than the freaking Rams, who are going to be the absurd chalk. So I'm all about Arizona. I think Connor makes for a great play. And then they're down. The problem with Arizona is, I mean, A, Kyler didn't play a lot, but B, if you are stacking him, he's kind of a single stack guy. And there were three, potentially four, if you count Rondale Moore, which whatever, reasonable options. And now it's really just Kirk and AJ Green.
Yeah,
you can stack them with one of them. I think they're both fine. They're both getting a little bit underplayed right now, as according to what we have in the projections. And Kyler is the second highest optimal probability quarterback behind Jalen Hurts, who might not even play. So I just, there's so much to like in Arizona. I'm going to have a ton of plays up and down the board here.
I think Kirk is the one who will end up getting the ownership. And I think that Rondale and AJ Green and Zach Ertz will all be less owned. And also people single stack Kyler more than they double stack Kyler. And then in terms of bring backs on the Detroit side, I mean, TJ Hockenson is out for the season.
Amon-Ra
St. Brown, but I mean, he's 5,200. They priced him all the way up. So
yeah,
I don't know.
It's like a 17 implied total. Like, you don't need to bring back anyone on Detroit. You can, like, Amon-Ra St. Brown has seen a million targets lately. It could work, but I'm certainly not forcing that.
Yeah. And I mean, Brock Wright got a little bit of pub last week, but he didn't even see the most targets of any Lions tight end. This Shane Zylstra fella is the guy who got the most targets. So that feels not great. Would you do, so we talk about this sometimes, would you do like a min one Arizona wide receiver rule in your stuff?
I would not do a min one Arizona wide receiver, but I would consider min one of the two wide receivers and Connor or, you know, Benjamin, if he plays.
Yeah. I like Rondale a little bit more than you, obviously. And the reason, so you are at you, your prior position was correct when Hopkins was like a game time decision every single week. My thought is, if we're trying to get in the mind of the coach, now that they know that Hopkins is out for the rest of the year and they have to try and actually come up with a competent NFL offense without him, I wonder if this is the impetus to use him more, or if, you know, it just goes back to Antoine Wesley or whatever. And I can see it going either way. I can see Antoine Wesley just taking Hopkins' snaps, or I can see, you know, Rondale actually becoming the role that we kind of envisioned for him at the beginning of the year. And I mean, I don't know which one is more likely, but I think it's more likely that the Rondale role happens now that Hopkins is out for the year versus them just waiting for him to get back.
Yes, I do think he will garner more snaps, because I think what is most likely going to happen is Christian Kirk moves from the slot to outside to take over the DeAndre Hopkins stuff. AJ Green's role doesn't change at all. And then Rondale gets to play a little bit more, but he's still he's got this 1.5 ADOT.
Yeah, it's the lowest in the NFL by like 4 yards.
Yeah. Yeah. He's been really bad and he's tiny. If he's going to be 2% owned, I'm going to take some shots. I don't have a problem with that because
he would be more than 2%
so much, but yeah, it's looking like 3.5 right now. That could go up, I guess, but I think people are finally off of him, and he is a high variance player. So it's like reasonable to go for it, but like that variance all was in the first couple, 3 weeks, and it has been pretty steady of garbage lately. So I don't know. He does get a lot of targets per route run. It's conceivable. I will play some just because I like Kyler so much. And I think Arizona is getting underplayed in general, just because of the fact that they have the highest total by like a considerable margin on the slate. So they are the best team as far as just going after in general to me. So,
yep. All right. We have Washington, Philadelphia. So there certainly is a decent chance that Gardner Minshew is starting this week. Washington, also one of the teams that's been big time hit by COVID. So, you know, who knows what happens with McKissick and Gibson, and Terry McLaurin is recovering from a concussion. I have him out in the projections right now. Even with Terry McLaurin out, not getting playable projections on any of the Washington football team wide receivers. The one guy who I could see my projection being most wrong on is Ricky Seals-Jones, who only played 49% of the snaps last week, but he was coming back from injury. If he is fully healthy and they feel good about him, I could see him going back to the, you know, he had 100% snap shares earlier in the year. I could see something like that happening again. And if it did, you know, obviously that would revert him at his price in this matchup to being one of the best plays of the slate.
Yeah, I think that's fine. The interesting thing, you mentioned the Gardner Minshew possibility, and that's certainly true. Intern Ben, now part-time, we just should call him part-time employee Ben. Actually, let's just call him Intern Ben forever because it sounds better. He gave us some tweet about Hurts, like, really limping outside. And, you know, it looked bad, but also the Philadelphia total is, like, 27. So
yeah,
it's either they are pretty sure Hurts is playing, or Washington is just down so many, like Montez Sweat, who was their best defensive player, is out. He wasn't even vaccinated, I believe. Like, Washington is down a lot of dudes, so it could partially be that, where they're like, even Gardner Minshew could carve up this team. But I don't know, Hurts isn't a particularly effective NFL quarterback either. He's just an amazing fantasy player because of the rushing. So he's the highest optimal probability guy. I want to play a lot of him. It's pretty easy. He's another guy. You single stack him. It's with either Smith or Dallas Goedert. So going to have quite a bit of that as well.
Yeah. And then I don't know, like, Gibson has had good workload, but we're expecting McKissick back this week. Is this a buy, like, because Gibson's workload didn't really change last week. It was just he didn't get the garbage time touchdown and they got blown out. But I could see him being like one of the guys who's not chalky this week, who does have that 30 point upside.
Yeah, it's possible. He's still garnering 8-10% peon, which I think is appropriate because it's kind of priced in. We have the wish casting in there a little bit, right? He had a 6% market share of targets from weeks 2 to 11. He has had 1 week where he got a lot of targets with JD McKissick, and it was 2 or 3 weeks ago. The last 2 weeks McKissick wasn't around, and it's like, do we think that he has earned a bigger passing down role? Like, I don't know, and it is being projected a little bit that he has had one, so I'm more inclined to be short on it. And especially for a team with a 17 total, if he's even sniffing double digit, no, if he steams downward to like sub 5%, then I'm willing to start taking some shots on
him. Yeah. All right. Dallas at New York. This is the Dallas double stack is my favorite of the week, because the take last week, and we talked about this, was okay, Zeke is banged up. Maybe that makes them a little bit more pass heavy. Didn't really come to fruition. I mean, they did absolutely nothing in the second half. They were just like completely giving up. But I could, you know, I'm going to give that take fresh air again. Zeke did, for whatever it's worth, he told the media this week, he feels great. I mean, who knows, but basically this is an offense with what, a 27.5 point team total right now. One of the highest of the slate. The Giants are pathetic, you know, and Dak has played like shit. I mean, let's just call it what it is. He's played terrible. I don't think that all of a sudden Dak is terrible. And this is one of those stacks where, you know, CD can get 30, Amari can get 20, and Dak can get 30. And all of them, I think, are going to be fairly lightly owned.
Yep, I think that's right. They are. Last week, the Cowboys were, you know, all the three wide receivers were three of the top 10 leverage plays on the slate. Didn't work out. They pretty much are again this week, a little bit lower. They're getting a little more popular. But
by the way, Cedric Wilson's on the COVID IR and Noah Brown's just on the regular IR. So I don't think they're, I mean, maybe they rotate in Malik Turner and Fehoko a little bit, but even, yeah. And last week, Sean McKeon, the backup tight end, was a healthy scratch. So like the rotational options, like the ability to move those guys out of the game, it doesn't feel like going from 70% of snaps to 90% of snaps is a big deal, but it kind of is a big deal on the fringes.
Yeah, I think that's right. And CD is in that conversation of, I think, you know, the big thing this weekend is going to be, does Cooper Kupp score 30 points? Because if he does, it's
your dust.
I'm toast. Like, I will play 15% of him, but he's going to be the super, super popular owned guy. And there's just, you know, that is making Lamb, Diggs, Adams, Odell, like a bunch of these other, Jamar Chase, a bunch of these other sort of premium wide receivers, slight positive leverage. So I'm going to get over on six dudes and hope that one of them, or hopefully three of them, beat Cooper Kupp, and then just be under on Kupp, because it's pretty binary as far as how that's going to work, just because it's so, so easy to play Kupp this week. So yeah, that's kind of where I'm leaning, and the Dallas receivers are certainly one of the better ways to go about that. One thing I will say from a process perspective that I screwed up, I think, last week, is I got suckered in. I kind of like Zeke anyway because Dallas had such a monster total, so I was playing a lot of Dak stacks, a lot of Zeke, which is kind of how I tend to do it when we have the teams that have the highest totals. If they're not, it's, you know, egregiously owned, then I'm going to try to play someone from the team on almost every lineup. I ended up playing more Zeke because of the no Pollard, which was dumb. Like, Corey Clement was there. Like, they're not going to give him the bell cow role. And a lot of teams.
I mean, I thought they would, honestly. I really thought they would.
Yeah, I don't think that most teams want to do that. If they.
If Zeke was healthy, they would have given him 30 carries last week.
I don't know about that. I think that if a team is. I think we should go based on what the team has done rather than what we think the player is. Dallas all year had done sort of a, 60-40 split. So I don't think there was any reason
but
to think
Zeke
they wouldn't
led,
continue doing a 60-40
Zeke split. Has led the NFL in touches twice with Kellen Moore as his offensive coordinator.
When was the last time he did that?
I don't know. Exactly. I honestly don't know, but he's been. When is the last time Zeke led the NFL in touches?
A while ago, and he's in
year six or seven. It was a long time ago. You're right.
Yeah,
it was
he's
a long
in
time
year
ago.
Six or seven, and the average NFL running back career is 3 years. Like, he's on the downside. It happens so fast. Remember, like, Todd Gurley, like, all these guys. It happens, like, it's just all of a sudden. And I don't think Zeke is just, like, dust, but I don't think that they are going to ever give him 90% of the running back work again.
I mean, Corey Clement, I'm pretty sure, is older than Zeke.
Sure, but he's a part-time player. Zeke has three times the touches Corey Clement does in his career.
Yeah. All right, and I'm literally not interested in a single Giant. I mean, maybe Saquon, but I think Jake Fromm is going to play quarterback for them this week, so I'm not even really that interested in him.
Is that bad, though? Is that the Mike White thing? Jake Fromm's a big noodle arm. Does he check down a million times?
It's like the same thing as Glennon. Like, Saquon is fine. I'm not rushing to play him, but I'm certainly not playing Sterling Shepard or Kenny Galladay or Darius Slayton, though.
Yeah, absolutely there. Saquon is the one guy I would consider as well.
Yeah. All right. This is the biggest who the fuck knows game. The New York Jets playing at the road to the Miami Dolphins. So right now, it's 2:08 Central Time on Thursday, December 18th. The only active running back signed to the Miami Dolphins roster is Duke Johnson. By Sunday, Gaskin, Lindsey, and Ahmed could all be back. None of them could be back. One of them could be back. Whoever starts at running back against the Jets for the Dolphins, you are probably going to want to play. I have Gaskin in our projection still just because I'm pretty much throwing my hands up. But where I think it becomes tricky is what happens if Ahmed and or Lindsey come back and Duke Johnson is there, because the team all week has actually been talking up Duke Johnson, which is not a sentence I thought that I was going to say. But Duke Johnson
hasn't talked up Duke Johnson in the last 6 years.
Well, they did they had media availability yesterday, and Duke Johnson was like, I'm ready to handle 25 touches, which is like,
sure.
I mean, I'm pretty into that if that ends up happening, but like, I don't know. Talk me through and also no Jalen Waddle, which, messes their wide receiver projections up too.
Yeah, my notes are more on the passing side. I have no idea with running back. Like, it's probably not even worth getting into too much right now.
Because we just have no idea.
Yeah, we just have no idea. Gaskin looks good. They've got a big total. Jets are a bad defense. Jets have the lowest total on the board, so I'm not really interested in them at all. But the Miami passing attack, like, Tua is very cheap on DraftKings. He was going to be kind of popular anyway. And now Devontae Parker, who is 4,300, is probably going to be the second highest owned wide receiver on the slate.
He's going to be so chalky.
And he boosts Cup's Pion even higher because now it's easier to afford him. So yeah, it's gross, but Parker, it's kind of hard to see him fail at 4,300. Like, he's gotten it.
If Albert Wilson gets there.
Sure. Well, that's the other guy I was interested in. I think he'll take over the Waddle role. Like, he'll get into that. Mm-hmm. He'll take a lot of those two A dot targets and try to make
he
stuff
was
happen.
Playing. So Albert Wilson started playing more, even before Parker came back. So going back, he started becoming a 50% of snap share guy starting in week 10 in that win against Baltimore. And he was playing way less than that before. Even with Parker out, he had been playing like hardly at all.
Yep. Agreed. So, I mean, the Tua double stack to Parker and Wilson is very, very attractive. Not going to lie. Like, I don't think it changes Gesicki's role.
That's
a ton,
that, by the way, is going to be super chalky. Tua stacks are going to be bigly chalk now.
Yep. I think those replace the, like, I think people were going to talk themselves into Trevor Lawrence stacks this week. I honestly do, as gross as that sounds.
No, I think you're right. And I think some of this value opening up is going to do away with that.
Yep. And I think Tua is going to end up being the more popular because it is a true vomit stack now, because you've got to $3,000 receiver, $4,000 receiver, and a sub 6K quarterback. So you can do it. And it's a team with a 26 total. Miami passes a lot more than you'd think. So it's a nice stack if you're doing, like, I wouldn't do that with Cooper Kupp, I guess. You know, like, yeah, that just seems dumb. You're going to have to do something kind of weird in these lineups. But the Tua double stack is very attractive.
All right, our next game, Carolina at Buffalo. Buffalo now without Emmanuel Sanders. They had zero running back runs in the first half last week. So all of Diggs, Beasley, and Davis look pretty good. Beasley, I think, certainly going to be the least chalky of that group of players. You know, I think Diggs will obviously pick up a ton of ownership just because it's easy to play him this week. And Davis will pick up ownership because he's cheap and because people like him. He's just one of those guys that people like.
Yeah, I think that he is. Are you worried? I mean, I guess they haven't been all that effective anyway, but I think this may be whatever. Emmanuel Sanders is still good. And like, he really helped
their offense. Gabe Davis
was the deep. I don't think so. I think Emmanuel Sanders was, even though he wasn't garnering the targets, he was the field stretcher. You know, he was the one getting rid of the safeties, pulling them further away. I am a little scared that hurts their offense overall.
I mean, the offense has been way less efficient than last year anyway.
Yeah, I agree. So
which I actually think is because they've been trying to shoehorn Sanders in there when they were way better last year when Gabriel Davis was running more routes.
I guess so, but like, Sanders hasn't been getting targeted much lately. He was getting targeted early.
No, he's Chris right now. Manny Sanders is Chris Hogan. I mean, he's just out there. He's just out there getting his cardio in.
Right, which is a useful player for an offense like this, I guess.
Gabe Davis can do it too, is what I'm saying.
But that's, has that ever been his job before? Wasn't that Chris Hogan's job last year?
No, like, it was who was their fourth wide receiver last year? I don't even remember. I should know this. The Buffalo Bills fourth wide receiver last year was John Brown. And then but Gabe Davis, John Brown was hurt a bunch. And that's why Gabe Davis started playing, because he filled in for John Brown.
Yeah, it's whatever. It's kind of a straw man argument. Regardless, Gabe Davis, yeah, he's a fine play. I think the Parker thing actually maybe will make his peon a little bit lower. So
lower, yeah.
Josh Allen is right up there with Hurts and Kyler at top optimal QB. It's the rushing quarterbacks. It is every time. Those are like those are the top ones. So, and Davis is a very affordable piece.
And I don't know how chalky Josh Allen will be this week because of, you don't really want to use any Carolina bring backs. And I don't know. He just is, you know, they lost last week. I don't know. I guess he did get like 42 last week, but yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, sure did. And wasn't really a tournament winning quarterback for a lot of stuff.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, I like Allen quite a bit. I am down with the Buffalo stacks. There's still plenty of options, so you can make weird ones. Like Dawson Knox has been getting a pretty good target share. Diggs, yeah. I don't know. Is the game going to happen eventually? The one thing that's worth noting is, like, did we not all think that Stephon Gilmore was totally dead? Like, I kind of did. And he has been, like, phenomenal since he's come back. And he does do some shadow coverage. So I think that he probably is the one all over Diggs, whatever.
Yeah, but Diggs is just getting all these targets anyways. Like, Josh Allen doesn't care. Josh Allen is just going to target his dude.
That is probably true. And Diggs makes for positive leverage just because of the cup thing. He's one of the expensive guys that could beat him. So definitely like the double stacks there. But there's, you know, really there's four options, I suppose, at this point with Beasley, Davis, Diggs, and Knox. Six different two-way combos there. The problem, too, is Josh Allen is not necessarily a guy you have to double stack. He can be a single stack guy because of the rushing upside. So,
yeah,
it does. It makes it a little bit trickier to, like, figure out the right stack there, but I'm certainly going to be attacking them.
Yeah. All right. Cincinnati at Denver. Denver actually favored in this game, so maybe we get a more pass heavy game script from Joe Burrow, who was very solid last week. And then we have good prices on T, good prices on Chase. I think both of those guys look like positive leverage plays on the field.
Yeah, I really needed that last drive for Cincinnati to end in a touchdown last week in overtime. That would have been very useful because Burrow came very close to being the optimal quarterback, and I had some massive, massive teams with him and Kittle on the other side. And on the other side of this game, Melvin Gordon, who I was very on last week, just because it was like, he's going to be 1% owned. And this is the wish casting thing. Like, you can take advantage of that. Melvin Gordon was a 1% owned, almost smashed last week. The only reason he didn't like break the slate is because on the very first drive of the game, he hurt his hand for a minute, came out for the goal line carry he would have gotten that Javonte Williams punched in. He would have had 3 touchdowns, like 28 points for no money, and been at 1% owned. This is the idea. Like, we want in the fantasy industry, we have these players we like. Everyone really likes Javonte Williams. They want him to be the next big thing. But Melvin Gordon is still like the, you know, 1A or whatever. Like, he's the 55-45 guy. So, like, both of them have reasonable chances to do well. And they want to run the ball. They're home favorites again. Obviously, it was a better spot against Detroit. They had a bigger total. They were 10-point favorites. They were able to just pound the ball a million times. But Gordon has 20-plus touches in, like, 3 of his last 4 games now. So, he's an interesting guy. He's just going to get played a little bit more this week. He's going to be 6-8% owned, whereas last week was the real chance to bounce. So it's more a process thing where, like, that was a really, really good buying spot for a crazy, crazy low owned play. Just try to take advantage of that wish casting thing. I don't know that there's that spot this week, but
yeah. Do you have any takes on these Denver wide receivers? Do you like doing Burrow double stack with like a Judy or a Sutton bring back?
Yeah, I think you can. I'm not avoiding that. I do quite like Burrow stacks this week. Chase and Higgins have these monster target shares. You can even throw in Uzoma for savings. And
yeah, he did. He's got 6 targets in back-to-back weeks.
Yeah, and Tyler Boyd like still has like a 20% market share of targets on the season. He hasn't done a lot with it, but he's out there. So it's tougher because Cincinnati has a lower total and Burrow doesn't have rushing upside. So it's not going to pop from an optimal probability standpoint, but the Cincinnati rushing attack is definitely in play. And the Denver side, it's weird. Like, they obviously want to run the ball, but what we're hoping here, if we're playing Cincinnati, is that Denver's not allowed to run the ball over and over again. Because if Denver is, I will say, I don't think the Burrow stack's working if Denver's able to run the ball 40 times, because they'll just kill the clock that way. So I do think we're going to need right. Teddy to throw. And Teddy was okay the first month of the season. He's been real bad lately. I don't know. It's whack-a-mole to me. Like, I guess Judy's the best one. Cortland Sutton was the air yards darling early, but he's been just true garbage lately.
Since he signed his massive contract extension, he's 6th on the Broncos in targets.
Cool. Yeah,
he's got less targets than Alberto Cuébunam.
Your boy.
My boy.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess a Fant almost is the most interesting one just because of the position.
He got a little knee injury last week, so I'm hoping he doesn't play. I think he's back at practice. Like, I think he's fine, but that's my wish.
Jamming Alberto. Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, nothing better than that. All right. Atlanta, San Francisco. Don't think Eli Mitchell is going to be back for this game. He's in the projections right now. Again, I'm doing the best I can. I don't think he's going to be back this week. Yeah. I don't think he's going to be back this week. He still, to the best of my knowledge, has not returned to practice from this concussion. I know he had not returned on Wednesday. So that's going to leave us with Jeff Wilson Jr. as the early down back. Jamichael Hasty is the third down back. The problem in San Francisco is that Deebo Samuel has become a running back, which is not good for his fantasy value.
No, it's truly not. This is actually, you know, this is the highest optimal probability stack. Like, if you just take the top, you have the quarterback and the top 2 optimal.
I mean, I get it. Cause options. You have Patterson and Gage, and then you have Ayuk, Deebo and Kittle. I get
it. Cause it's Kittle because of the position for sure. Yeah. And then Deebo. Here's the thing with Deebo is we have our algo for the touchdown part can be a little bit
screwed. It's broken for him.
I don't know. Well, it's not broken. It's doing what it is said it's supposed to do. But he just has such an absurd, like, every time he rushes the ball, he scores a freaking touchdown.
He's got like a 16% rushing, like, rushing TD rate when he gets a carry.
Yeah. So we have him for 18% of the market share rushes, and it's scaling to 38% of the market share rushing TD, which is probably not going to happen. But I mean, it's been like that. So he's actually the highest optimal probability receiver. And it's because of that, like, that crazy rushing workload. We even have the market share of targets down a little bit, which opens up more targets for Kittle, who's been doing absolute wonders with him. So Yeah, I don't know, man. This is like,
and Ayuk, it's opened up. Yeah. It's opened up for Ayuk.
Yep. Yeah. So I think Jimmy to Ayuk and Kittle is the better stack for as far as that goes.
Are you interested at all, Jimmy? Are you interested at all in Jeff Wilson Jr.? Like, just thinking he just ran bad last week, or?
Yeah, he got 15-ish touches. So, like, I think he probably did run bad more than anything else. So, I'll certainly play him. These guys have a huge total. Atlanta's a garbage defense. Like, San Francisco's another team. They're up there. It's them. It's like, listen, everyone's going to jam the Rams, who actually have, like, a 2.5-point lower total than the 49ers. They have a touchdown lower total than the Cardinals. They have a 2.5-point lower total than the Bills. So, I don't know, man. Like, those are the teams that I'm more interested in. Bills, Cardinals, 49ers. Those are the teams I'm really going to be jamming.
I mean, they might be,
one of them beats the Rams.
They might be jamming them a little bit less with the Lockett stuff.
What's the Lockett stuff?
He has COVID now.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Oh, so Metcalf chalk. No, I don't think that'll make people jam them less. I think just we'll get Metcalf chalk and then people will still play. That's going to be the game people stack, I think. But the total has dropped a lot. Seattle has a total under 20. It's not pretty.
Yeah.
All right. So San Francisco is definitely a premium team I'm going after, for sure.
Yeah. All right. Green Bay, Baltimore is the next one. Maybe Lamar with a 19-point team total. Aaron Jones missed practice today. So that is looking through the slate and potential, like, strategy wrinkles. If Aaron Jones is declared out in the late games, like, having a little bit of late swap equity there to jam in AJ Dillon, because AJ Dillon would be, like, the best play of the slate if Aaron Jones doesn't play.
Is he that much better? I think AJ Dillon's a pretty good play as it is, and he's not going to get played.
Well, he's not going to get any receiving down work. He got zero targets last week.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah,
I thought he had a higher market share. Whatever. Sure, Jones is going to be the better receiver for sure, but as far as the touchdowns go, which is what you really need to smash a tournament, you want to guess what, whatever. It's 21-3 AJ Dillon to Aaron Jones in the last four games they played together in terms of red zone rushes. It's insane. He's their goal line back. So he's got the James Conner when Chase Edmonds was around role. So I think AJ Dillon is a very good play, even if Aaron Jones is around. And yeah, he's like a cash viable play if Aaron Jones is not, but I'm kind of hoping Jones plays, or at least doesn't get ruled out until inactive, so that I can play a ton of AJ Dillon at presumably pretty low rostership.
And you know, Devontae Adams is going to be half as owned as Cooper Kupp probably. Yep. And he's still Devontae Adams. So that feels like a good spot.
I believe he has a higher market share of targets than Cooper Kupp does on the season.
Yeah. I mean, they pass way less, but that is true.
That is true. And then, I mean, Lamar, how the mighty have fallen. He's not even popping from an optimal probability. Part of that too is, like, the totals have been so bad the last couple of weeks. But I don't know, like, Lamar is one of those guys that, like, if it's going, I don't know, I guess the ankle too, which is, last week I did play a fair bit of him, just even with a 19-point total, just because I was like, if he goes nuts, I'm going to lose it, because he's just such a high ceiling guy. And I still think that ceiling is potentially there here. Like, Green Bay can give up some points, but that total is really bad.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I'm with you on that. I'm not really interested in Bateman or maybe Mark Andrews a little bit, just because of positional stuff, but yeah. Not all that interested. And then our final game, we got the Rams, Seahawks here. This is, like, one of the games that projects to be pace up. We got Metcalf chalk now. You know, you can play Dwayne Eskridge or Freddie Swain a little bit. And then Odell is out right now. Daryl Henderson is out right now. Both of those guys could theoretically get back. I'm kind of hoping that Henderson does not get back, because I would love to jam Sony. But I don't know. I mean, this game is the most up in the air because of all the COVID stuff.
Yeah, it's really bad. I think there's a possibility where you can do are they all the same price pretty much? Aaron Jones is a little more expensive. So I would say you can put like at least one AJ Dillon, Daryl Henderson, Sony Michel. It doesn't really matter which one it is. Put one of them in every single lineup.
Every single lineup. Yeah.
Because somebody's going to be in a really good spot and they'll all probably be underplayed relative to what is going on. I mean, you know, your worst case scenario, if you do that, is that Aaron Jones and Daryl Henderson play, but whatever, if Daryl Henderson plays, he's not going to be particularly high owned either. So he's in a good spot from a game theory perspective. So yeah, I think that's a really good process thing to just play one of them, especially since the Rams passing attack is going to be like monster chalk. Seattle, I mean, would lock it out. DK Metcalf, his P-own is gonna keep climbing, so he could end up being 15%. This is gonna be the most popular stack, and it's not a good total, man. I don't know. Like I get it. People think of these teams as these monster offenses, but Seattle hasn't been this year. They do allow a ton of plays per game, which is kind of bad. But I don't know. Cup is such a nightmare to deal with, but it becomes a little bit easier in a situation like this, especially on FanDuel where it's almost a pick 'em. Like people are just going to play him. He's projecting like 55% P-own already. So I don't know. Like he's not 55% to score 30 and just like dust everyone else. So there's a real chance.
It kind of feels like he is sometimes though.
Sure does. It really does. Like he's got double digit targets in all but one game this season. I don't know. Like St. Brown has double digit targets a bunch too. He doesn't do anything with them. Obviously that's a stupid argument, but I don't know. It's just as simple as that. He's not worth 55% PO on FanDuel. So
yeah,
I don't know. I'll be under that. And I hope he fails. And I hope that one of these other alpha wide receivers that I will be over on, you know, there's five others that I can be over on if I am willing to short Cooper Kupp. So that's just from an expected value perspective, it's just like much sharper to do that.
Yeah. All right, guys, we're going to get out of here. I was working on the projections all the way through this. You know, I will be on top of the COVID guys. I would expect a big refresh to the projections Friday morning, and I would expect a big refresh to the projections. I mean, obviously on Saturday, the stuff for the Saturday games will be all good. And then there will be a huge refresh on Sunday morning as we're making sure the team baselines are correct and that, you know, all the COVID guys are out. But look, it's an insane week. I certainly would, I would not get too take locked into any of your takes here on a Thursday or a Friday, because it's very likely that those things are going to change. And we'll get out of here, and I'll be back tomorrow with Reebs.